praise and worship.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a beautiful Thursday here in Brevard County. I don't care what the weather is doing outside. If Jesus is on the throne, then that makes everything all beautiful. So we want to thank you today. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast with Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and we are thankful for you listening, and thank you for the feedback that we have received. It's not an awesome amount of feedback, but every time we hear, I keep asking if anybody is sent in any hate mail or anything like that. Hadn't got any of that, but we are thankful for those of you who do listen, and pray that you will be blessed today. So we are going to be having just a typical Sunday service. I'm actually going to be teaching at a conference Friday and Saturday of this week. Really look forward to this every year, and this year my wife even gets to go with me, so I'm excited about that. She comes over whenever she gets off work, it's not too far away, and she gets to hear me teach. So you've actually got a head start. I'm going to be teaching a workshop on something I shared here on the radio program some time ago, but lost for words. That doesn't happen very often. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 48, shall we? Genesis chapter 48. I'll pick up where a little bit before where we left off yesterday. And it said, so Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be upon them, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So yesterday we were talking about Jacob blessing Ephraim knowingly. And so we're going to move on a little bit and just begin to look at the blessing that Israel or Jacob pronounced over Joseph's sons. And it says, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. I want to start off today by telling you this, and this is for anybody who's in authority. It's for parents or for grandparents. I don't care how old your kids are, whether they're adults or whether they're little. Make sure that you pronounce a blessing upon them. Make sure that you speak words of life over them. Make sure that they know that you are not doing this by your own actions, but you are doing it because you had an encounter with God and you want to bless them. You see, there are so many generational issues. There are so many boss and employee relations where they are hostile towards one another. And the reality is, God is in the blessing business. Now, I want you to know that there are curses that are available, but he wants us to choose the life that brings us the blessings of God. That's God's will for you. God wants you blessed, not cursed, but that blessing comes with a life that is in alignment with his design, his purpose, and his creation, his intent. Through the years, a lot of times I have seen people who would take tools that were designed for one purpose, and then they would take them and use them for a different purpose. There, even though a chisel and a flathead screwdriver may look similar in design, if you try and use that plastic-handled screwdriver as a chisel, you are going to ruin the screwdriver because that hammer will shatter the hard plastic that has been crystallized around the stem of the screwdriver. You need to use the tools the right way in order to get the right result. You either damage the tool or you damage the object that you are trying to utilize the tool on. And so you and I, we need to be in the blessing business. We need to be living our life and in relationship with God. And Jacob says, I'm not dying. Chapter 49, we're not going to talk too much about chapter 49, but chapter 49 is all about Jacob blessing all of his kids. Chapter 48 is about him blessing Joseph's kids, which Jacob has said, now they are mine. Too many kids live trying to earn their parents' approval and their parents always moving the stick. It's like the donkey and the carrot and the stick, that the donkey keeps moving and trying to get the carrot, but the stick just stays, or the carrot stays a little bit out of reach because the stick keeps it that way. And folks, I want you to know that if your kids do not know that you love them, if you're not blessing them with a relationship with God, if you're not blessing them with edification and encouragement and exhortation, if you're not training them up in the way that they should go, eventually they are going to become exasperated. And fathers, we are told not to provoke our children to that level. We are supposed to provoke one another to good works, not to exasperation. So be a blessing. Be a blessing to them. And Jacob begins to pronounce the blessing, and he says, God. That's where the blessing begins. It begins with God. He says, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. And what he said is, you know, I'm your grandfather, but God was before me, and he was before your great-grandfather, and he was before your great-great-grandfather, and they lived longer lives than I. Everything in your life, the blessing of God, originates in your relationship with God, the God who was and is to come. God. He says, this same God that my fathers walked with, he has fed me all my life long to this day. You know, if I can share this, your blessing should include your testimony. Have you ever stopped to think and to write down what God has done to you. Now, I've been at Merit Assembly of God for 22 and a half years, and a lot of people have heard my stories a lot of times. But you know what? When there are new people who are coming in, they need to hear the testimonies of what God has done. I am thankful for the testimonies of God. I'm thankful for his intervention in my life. I'm thankful for the times I've been healed. I'm thankful for the times when he's answered my prayers. I'm thankful for the times when he's put food on my table. And we seem to minimize this testimony that Jacob is sharing, where it says, God has fed me all my life long to this day. He said, as long as I've been alive, God's never let me starve to death. And we look at that and we might think that's funny, because we've got restaurants, you know, every so many feet, and we got grocery stores all over the place. And if that's not good enough, we got convenience stores and gas stations and all of that sort of stuff. We can find food someplace. But that wasn't always the case. In this agrarian society, it was an agriculturally based society, they had to grow their own food. They had to cause their livestock and their flocks and their herds, they had to cause them to be productive. And Jacob testifies to these grandsons, and he says this: God has never forsaken me. The psalmist would later say, I have been young and and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Used to happen a lot. I haven't seen it happen in a while, but there used to be a ministry, a quote unquote ministry from Tampa, and they would come over to Merritt Island, and they would stand out in the middle of intersection, and they would put the name of a church on these little containers, and they would stand out there and beg. And I want you to know, it was everything. It took every bit of self-control that I had not to get out and say, hey, do you all know Jesus? And if they said yes, then I said, well, you need to know the Jesus that I know, because he will never have his seed begging bread. His children are not beggars out in the street. His children are provided for and taken care of. He gives them the ability to produce wealth. I need to introduce you to a better Jesus than the one that's got you begging. So anyway, that might not. And it says, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. People need to know your testimony. Listen to what he said thus far. He said, the God that I serve, he predated me. My father walked with him. My grandfather walked with him. He'll walk with you. God never let me starve all the days, even when I was a stranger, when I was in a foreign land, when I came back, he never let me starve. He's been faithful. And then he says, and he's redeemed me from all evil. You see, Jacob still meant deceiver, even at 147. It still meant deceiver or slanderer or trickster. God had changed his name to Israel, and he said, God redeemed me. The man that you see today is not the man that I was. God has redeemed me from all evil. And you may not have to go into all the details, but make sure your kids know that you weren't always a perfect person, and the reason that you show them mercy is because God showed you mercy, and that they need to be people of mercy because God wants to show them mercy as well. Amen? Let's move on. He says, that same God is, I'm asking right now, bless the lads, bless these boys, bless these boys. I heard a minister say one time, he was pastoring a church, he's got a son the same age that I am. He and I went to school together. And, at that point in time, his son was in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, Sunday school class, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys. And, one day he said, the Sunday school teacher came in and was just totally frustrated and said, those boys are going to end up in jail, and your boy is going to end up on death row. That's not the blessing. That's not the blessing. Actually, would you like to hear what happened? I don't know what happened to the other boys, but that boy, that pastor's son, ended up being called into the ministry, served as a missionary, and pastors to this day. Very, very gifted. His wife is very gifted. Got wonderful kids. Don't pronounce that curse upon people that God has chosen to bless. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. May they not be ashamed of their family heritage. You know, there's one form of television that I have never understood, and that is soap operas. Because as far as I can tell, with all of the people that I have ministered to in you know, different states, I've ministered in five different states, maybe six. I don't remember how many different states I've ministered into, to be honest with you. But I've preached in a number of different places, and every family that I've ever come across had some level of dysfunctionality in it. It's just a reality. We are living in a fallen world, and we are trying by the Spirit of God to purge our fallen nature from every aspect of our being. I'm not talking about whether it rules and reigns. I want its influence gone from my life. A week ago last Sunday, I was preparing to go up to minister the word, and God spoke to me and said, you know, if you do not change your perspective on this one particular situation, I could show you that that it could be worse. And I said, God, you're correct. You're right. And I changed my perspective. It did not mean that my observation was wrong, but my reaction to that truth needed to be adjusted to come in line with what God had to say about that. I pray that your kids and your grandkids will not be ashamed of their family destiny. There's a movie. It's not a Christian movie. It really isn't. But it was called Hitch, and it's just got some funny stuff in it. And this guy is trying to impress this girl, and so he manages to take her out to Rikers Island, where all of the immigrants come in, and he had built a relationship with the guy out there, and so he had the book of immigrants opened to the page where this young lady, her relative, an ancestor of hers, had come over, and he thought that was going to really impress her, but his nickname was the Butcher, and so they just thought that was the occupation. But instead, she just began to weep and sob and begin to lash out and all of that, because he wasn't a butcher in the meat sense. He was a butcher in that he was an assassin, and everybody was ashamed of the family legacy that he had left them. I want to leave a legacy of faith. If you remember when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, I encourage you to stir up the faith that is in you, to fan into flames the gift that is in you that was first in your mother, and it was in your grandmother as well. Excuse me. Somebody needs to start. If you've got a family history that is filled with sexual sin, if you've got a family history that is filled with financial bankruptcy or poverty, if you've got a family history of alcoholism or drug addiction, if you've got a family history of crime, I want to encourage you, start a new legacy. Start a new legacy. And so that when you are pronouncing a blessing, say, God, may the name, let my name be named upon them. Let the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, let that name rest upon them. And the greatest legacy is let the name of Jesus rest upon them. You see, I'm not ashamed of Jesus because he wasn't ashamed of me. And right now in America, there is more and more social pressure being put upon people to be ashamed of their Savior. I want to encourage you that to look in the Word, and you will see that if you will take a bold stand for God here before men, that he will take a bold stand for you before angels in heaven. It says, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. These are the grandkids, okay? And he says this, God, let them grow. Let them grow. Let them increase. Bless them with increase. Bless them. Let them grow, not just a little bit, but let them grow into a multitude. What if we were able to pronounce a blessing over people and say, God, don't leave them the same. God, by your power and by your mercy, let them grow. Let them mature. Let them become fruitful, O God. Let them increase. Let them increase into a multitude. You promised Abraham that if he could count the stars, that that's what his descendants would be. God, let these kids grow to fulfill that promise that you made when Abraham and Isaac were walking with you. God, let them grow into a multitude as the sands of the sea. Let them grow. Let them increase. Do not let them decrease. So I like to share humorous illustrations. I like to pick on myself. Because I know I'm not going to get mad at myself. It's not necessarily self-deprecating. I was who I was. I am who I am, but I'm not yet who I'm going to be. So praise the Lord for that. But my mother and father tell a story about when I was getting ready to go to kindergarten, that they were trying to teach me my ABCs. They were trying to teach me my numbers. They were trying to teach me how to tie my shoes. They were trying to teach me my phone number. They were trying to teach me my address. And all of this stuff that they were trying to teach me, and my mindset was, no, I am going to learn that when I go to school. That's when I'm going to learn it. And so the first day of kindergarten, I went to kindergarten and I came home with a note from the teacher. And the note from the teacher to my parents said this: he needs to learn how to tie his shoes. He needs to learn his ABCs. He needs to learn how to count and his numbers. He needs to learn his address, and he needs to learn his phone number. And my parents said that I came home that night and I learned all of those things because the teacher said, it's time to grow. I had said I wasn't going to learn it until the teacher said it was time to grow. I was looking for somebody else to teach me. And in actuality, I held myself back because I didn't think it was time to grow. God, let them grow. Now, I've got good news for you. God is, when we decide to that we're going to give God the permission to grow us, he will grow us. But until then, until we come to that place, he's not going to force himself on us. But today, I want to ask you this question. Have you reached a place of contentment where you are no longer growing, you no longer feel compelled to grow, or are you fully intent on growing into a multitude, not just a little bit, but into a powerhouse for the kingdom of God? Are you intent on growing to become the most valuable employee at your workplace, increasing your skill set, increasing your knowledge, increasing your humility, increasing your interpersonal dynamics? Are we growing? Because it is very clear God wants his churches to grow. We at Merit Assembly of God, we are not a multitude yet. We, Jacob, as he is pronouncing this blessing, you got to remember there were 70 that went down into Egypt. That's how many went down there. But they number a lot more than 70 now. When they left Egypt, they numbered a lot more than 70 then. And Jacob said, God, we're more than we were when we were just Abraham and Isaac and Sarah. We are more than we were when it was just me and my boys and Leah and Rachel. We are more now than we were under my dad's generation. But God, we're not content yet. Grow these boys into a multitude. By the way, I remind you, Ephraim means double fruit. It means fruitful. God looks for fruitful, and that's growth comes, fruitfulness comes out of an abiding relationship with the Spirit of God. It only comes, spiritual growth, kingdom growth only comes out of an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. I ask you today, can I bless you? Can I bless you with a prayer that God grow you into a multitude? If I can, join me in this prayer. Father, I just want to thank you that before these people even knew who I was, you were on the throne. God, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they lived a long time ago, but before they were, you were. In the beginning, you were. You are the God who always has been, always will be, and you are currently. Father, I thank you for those that have walked with you. God, I thank you for Enoch that walked with you and you took him. I thank you for the walk of the Spirit. I thank God, thank you, God, that you are with these and you feed them on a regular basis. You take care of the needs. You are Jehovah Jireh in our life. I thank you that you are our Redeemer, our Savior. And God, I thank you that you redeemed us because we needed redemption. We were not perfect. We were fallen, God. Thank you for the redemption you've brought in my life. May your name rest upon these people. May they be known like the believers in Antioch as Christians. Christians not by culture, but Christians by walk. Christians by belief. Christians by lifestyle. And God, I pray today that you would grow them. I pray that you would grow their marriage relationships. I pray that you would grow their occupational skills. I pray that you would grow their finances, grow their effectiveness, grow their knowledge of you. God, grow them into a multitude. Bless them for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.